Are we all charged up? Are we supercharged?
Supercharged.
Quiet on the set. Can we please have quiet on the set?
Awesome!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
Welcome to the Brian Noonan Show, web exclusive podcast starring the titular Brian Noonan, who is sitting here with me. I'm Cody Goff, and Roger Badish, news extraordinary, extraordinaire, is
Roger,
here.
Roger dropping by now at the beginning of the web exclusive podcast, which is welcome, always welcome. Good to see you, Roger. We didn't talk to you much tonight because you were busy with the weather.
Yeah.
Keeping an eye on southeastern Wisconsin.
You know, I love me some storms.
Sure, who doesn't? Oh, yeah. Man, we cover the weather better than pretty much any show on this station.
Is that right?
Sure,
I think so.
other people will call Tom Skilling or the other meteorologist. They'll do a lot of serious stuff. We just kind of hope for the best and laugh it up. Cross our fingers, hope for the best, tell people to put their head between their legs and...
Tuck and roll.
Duck and cover. Kiss your... goodbye.
All those
That's
things.
What happens.
What brings
We've had some big storms here lately, like over the last couple weeks. When it rains. It rains crazy hard.
Yeah.
It doesn't just drizzle. There's not just little, it's like insanity. I had things fly off my house.
Really?
The plants tipping over and, oh, yeah, terrifying.
Insanity for 3 seconds and then nothing.
Well, I don't need a lot of insanity.
But it was on and off. It's not like just boom and then gone.
It comes back.
Hit you, go away a little bit, like fake you out, like, ooh, time to take the dog out.
Fake you
and
out.
And then, bam, right as you're halfway home, tons of rain again.
That's why I don't take my dogs out.
You just leave them out.
I put them in the bathroom. They'll figure it out.
Really?
Smart.
Do they? Are they that smart?
Nope. My dogs is brain damaged.
Didn't we talk one time about potty training dogs?
I would love to potty train my dogs. Maybe we'll get Steve Dale in here because he loves to talk. We'll get Steve Dale in here one day. No, he does. He loves to talk about anything pets.
He loves
and I
animals.
Love to listen to him.
Yeah.
I said this to my wife just this morning. Honest to God, just this morning. This is not part of Kevin Cronin's shtick in 157 Riverside Avenue. There's an obscure reference for all you REO Speedwagon rock and roll fans. So this morning, we took the dogs to get baths because they stink. And one of them has a skin issue. So we took them to get their baths. And then we were in the yard doing some stuff. And I'm picking up poop. Well, I just picked up poop yesterday when I cut the grass. These dogs, I think all they do is create poop.
What are they eating? What are you feeding them?
I don't know. Dog food? Steak? Poop enhancer?
The problem is...
Fiber? Lots of fiber?
I've been to your house. The problem is...
Duraflame logs?
I've seen this. Next to your water bowl, you've got a bowl of coffee? Mm-hmm. I don't think that helps.
Coffee would bind them up.
No, I think the coffee
really?
Was... I was hoping the coffee would be a diuretic and they'd just pee it all out. Instead, they're solid. But anyway, the point of this story was...
that escalated.
I went fast. Boy, that jumped off quickly. So I'm picking up poop again today, and I said, well, you know what, after 24 years of picking up dog poop, I'm really tired of picking up dog poop.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do this anymore, but I don't have an option. What, are I gonna put diapers on them like a horse and who's pulling a
it's
cart up Michigan
before.
Avenue diapers on dogs?
Oh yeah.
I think we contemplated it once. One of our dogs years ago got really sick, and it was just whoo-hoo. It was like a garden hose back there.
Oof.
But not of pure clean water. And we debated.
There was lead in it.
It was very leaded. It was leaded. It looked like motor oil. But I thought about, diapering him up for a little bit. I have to use descriptive language so people can picture it in their mind.
Theater of the mind. And we have disgusted most of...
I would like
of...
to do puppet theater of the mind. Listen, anybody who has a dog knows has gone through this same situation. What do you carry a little bag with you? You don't leave Rufus's belongings all over?
No. We carry a bag with us out there.
But he
had some mistakes about 3-4 days ago.
In the house?
Yeah, because we usually take them about 1:30, but we were running around doing stuff. We didn't get back till 3:30, and I opened the back door, and I go, ooh, something smells a little randy. So,
I cannot. To that kind of behavior.
Yeah, well,
I do not understand why anybody would own a dog in this city. And I know you're both dog owners, and you both love. Well, you've got a yard.
I have a yard.
Do you?
I've got cement now.
I can't.
I was adamant that we would not have a dog in an apartment.
I briefly dated a girl with a dog who had to, you know, I mean, she's a young single woman living in the city.
She's got enough trouble.
Most of the perks lie in being able to do what you want when you want.
Right.
When you have a dog, that's like suddenly having a spouse or a kid, only
exactly.
you're sticking your hand in hot poop in the morning.
Well, no, you're not picking a bear.
Some people have a pooper scooper.
It's a thin piece of plastic.
It is.
It's warm and gross. It's disgusting.
It's gross. It's gross and it's inconvenient. And it's, I don't know, I always thought it was, and this is just me, I know a lot of people in the city have pets, present company right. included, and there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. For me it was, I didn't want the dog to not have a place to run around.
Right.
And back in the day, and somewhat now, I'm exceptionally lazy. So the thought of having to actually three times a day walk the dog,
right.
that's a pain in the ass.
And he's right. I agree 100%. If we had a backyard, it would be better. Right now, everyone's lawn is my backyard. Sorry, I'm getting all excited.
You don't have to hit the mic. You don't have to slam things.
Call the union.
But yeah, everyone's lawn is our backyard because we have to walk them in front of everyone's building. You know, and it takes four blocks for them to decide, oh, okay, I think I'll go now.
No, ours.
Seriously.
We lived for a year when we moved to California in a condo, third floor condo. And the worst thing in the world is not being able to just kind of settle into the day. The first thing you have to do is pull on some pants
mm-hmm.
and take the dogs out.
Because
they need to go. Like now, I can get up at 4:30. Usually the dogs are asleep. But every once in a while, one of them want to go out. You know what I have to do? I just unlock the door and let them out.
Yeah,
and then I open the door back up, and she's right there waiting to come in. I let her in.
That would be sweet.
I
wouldn't mind doing that.
I mean, good on you if that's what you want. Clearly, lots of people do it.
Lots mm-hmm. of them.
But I grew up with a dog. I love my parents' golden retriever, and I loved opening the back door to let her out.
Yeah.
But the whole
But you had a backyard then.
Yeah,
right?
The whole. Okay. I mean, and this was in an elevator building with my friend, and
it's a hassle.
I just can't.
Yeah, it's tough, and.
And the dogs just sit around all day plotting your demise because you keep them cooped up in a little box.
Yeah.
And that's probably why Rufus is the way he is. He hates other dogs. He loves people, hates other dogs. Right. Well, every time we take him out, it's like, let's take him out now. There won't be any other dogs around. Nope.
It's a city
Always.
Full of dogs.
Yeah, I know. And every we take him out at 1,
Maybe
1:30, 2:30, doesn't matter. Somebody's always. I think there are people like looking out the window waiting for us.
Can't you socialize him? Can't you take him to places
with
other dogs?
We have tried. We took him through training
again,
when we first got him, but he and Bridget can't handle him. He's strong. He's wiry but strong.
Just like Cody.
Yeah, right.
I can't handle him. He's wiry and strong, and I don't. But I'll wrestle him to the ground and rub his nose in his mess so he knows who's the boss.
I don't usually go on the ground.
I'll hold him on the ground upside down and clamp my jaws around his throat so he knows I'm the alpha. Dog. I have to do that like once every 6 weeks to let him know who's boss of the show.
There you go.
Show boss.
Well, since we don't fight anymore.
No.
Since we don't close the show with us getting in a cage match.
Now we alpha dog it. Yeah,
alpha
we alpha dog,
dog
it. Which is how I had to train my first dog.
Yeah.
They taught, that was a book they used to give you at the Humane Society. To puppy train. I know I've told this story before, that there was drawings and you were supposed to show your new dog
right.
who's the boss. You were supposed to roll them on their back and put your mouth on their throat. Not bite down or anything,
right.
but just like,
right.
ha-ha, and then they know you are the alpha dog.
Yeah.
And my hand to God, every dog in my house knows I'm the alpha dog.
Rufus wasn't a pup.
Doesn't matter.
Him. He was an
you
older
still
dog.
Have, you still have to teach them that you're the alpha
Did
dog.
You
well,
do
he
that?
Knows now.
Yes.
You put your mouth around a dog's neck.
Not
all the way around
it.
I didn't like. I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't dehinge my jaw. And hop, like, and
you didn't go all Dracula
and,
on him.
Yeah, no. I wrestled them. They were, you know, I'd lay them down on the ground.
Them.
And then I rolled them on their belly. And they're flopping around. They think it's going to be fun. And then it is fun. And then I just, and I put my head down like in the crook of their neck and just made some noise. And then I'm the boss dog.
Yeah.
This is one more gross thing that will prevent me from ever owning a dog.
Well,
in
you don't
the
have
city.
To do it that way, but then your dog rules the roost.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not,
I'm
I don't have to pick
I'm
up
I'm the
their...
man in our
I am too. Rufus obeys
me. Did you bite Rufus's neck?
No, I didn't. But they didn't give us that book when we got him from Paws.
You read the Beta Dog book.
No, I just
how to be the beta dog.
How to
keep your pack. Everybody's the same. It's the communist dog training book. Everybody is treated the same.
I'm known as the enabler.
Yeah, not me. I'm known as the boss. I say something, they listen. My wife says something, they flip her off. I go, "What do you need, big man?" I go, "I need you to listen to her. Or I'm going to have to pay the price."
They call you big man?
They do
everywhere.
Oh, the dog. Yeah. Well, no, just in private.
I'm going to start calling
just
you.
Just when they're on the, you know, staring at me. All right, big man, what do you want? I don't know. Little dog, what are you talking about? And then I realize I'm just talking to the dogs. And so everybody else thinks I'm insane.
So next time a dog messes with me, I can just bite its neck and it'll...
you got to flip them over.
Yeah, you got to flip them over. You got to suplex them.
Yeah, right.
I would suggest bringing them up over your back. Flop down on them. Just go into a whole big ha.
Do a pile driver on them. There you go.
The one thing I have never put the dog in a rear naked choke. I have not. I haven't had to.
Not yet.
But I will pile drive a dog if needed. I will.
I believe you. I'm not disputing this.
I don't know if you know this. I am the pack leader. I am the alpha man.
Hear him howl.
I don't have to. I just have to walk in and the pack knows. Ooh. When I was on the road trip with Molly, the dogs were in a tizzy, my wife said, because I was not there. So they came in and slept in the bedroom with Debbie so that what was left of the pack could be together. Ooh. Because when I'm home, they feel free. They're feel secure. Mm-hmm. So they'll sleep wherever they want. They might sleep, you know, and they show they're very comfortable when I'm there. When I wasn't there,
they got all jittery.
The house, the pack leader, what was going on? And so they all made sure they slept real close together.
That's why I don't work with fill-ins anymore.
With villains or fill-ins?
Fill-ins.
Fill-ins.
That's why I don't work with villains anymore. When did you work with villains? There was a time I was anti-establishment. The Justice League upset me, and so I decided I was going to work with villains. Yeah, what?
I work with villains all the time.
With the hole-in-the-wall gang.
I can't work with fill-in hosts. They come in, and they're going to host the show, and I don't understand. I end up in one of the backup studios upstairs.
You're just in my cube under the desk.
Yeah, right.
What's the matter, big man?
Sometimes I just sit up in the newsroom for hours on end eating all of the little treats that Veronica brings in.
Oh, see, he didn't bring... He came up looking for the papers, remember you mentioned? But no, he wasn't looking for papers. He came up, he got himself a cherry chip brownie.
Yeah, cherry chocolate chip brownie.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. They were
only
good.
None of those made it.
No, he took one, two.
I took one.
One. He, it's but right. It was eaten before he
went
out.
Of course, I don't blame him.
Obviously,
you guys gotta eat.
And then he stopped and said, "Ooh, that's good."
Just like that?
Yeah.
In that creepy, weird,
it was.
Semi-erotic
it was.
Tone?
Like you can't imagine me speaking in a creepy, weird, semi-erotic tone.
Over a brownie? No, I can.
Dude, you've seen me eat. It's crazy.
Oh, goodness gracious.
You gotta go do the news, don't you?
I want to
on the terrestrial side.
Yeah, we catch you on the flip side, as they say.
Well, we're always happy to see you drop
down. I appreciate you guys letting me be a part of it.
Enjoy the rest of the evening.
You too.
Who's up there? Rick Kogan?
Rick's up there, and then old-timey
radio.
WGN
that fits
radio
right in with you.
You better believe it.
Old-timey newscaster, old-timey radio.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to talk about dog poop and biting a dog's neck.
No.
Cody working with supervillains.
No,
super
because it's cats. We do cats on that. Cats pride.
Oh, well, good for them.
Okay. I got to go. Bye.
All right, I'm the pack leader. See you later.
So that was good dog talk. I have a story.
That was good dog talk. Unplanned dog talk.
So much. Hey, dog talk all the time.
Hey, man, what's happening?
That was the name of my college radio station.
Dog talk all the time because you were on WDOG.
94.1 The Dog. Music Unleashed.
Oh, my God.
I came up with that.
Tell me you were the brand manager on that nightmare.
I was the program director.
I know you were.
I ran that place.
And so you came up with the slogan, the catchphrase?
94.1 The Dog, Music Unleashed.
Music Unleashed. I like it. Very nice.
Still use the same imaging as what I was there.
Really? Nobody else could come up with something better? There was never something that went, we could probably redo this. Nah. That'd take a lot of work.
Look, imaging is hard.
Imaging is very hard.
It's very hard. So my story.
Yeah.
Begins many years ago. Doesn't really.
All right.
No, today I was at Greek Fest.
Oh, we're in, is that in old Greektown?
It's not in Greektown.
It's not.
There's a Greek Fest in Lincoln Park.
Okay.
And I live right near the Greek Orthodox Church.
Okay.
It's on Sheffield.
Right. Yeah, I know where that is.
Biodiversity. So So they close out the block. They have Greek Fest, and
those are fun.
They're great. Yesterday I went, and we got some of those leafy, the olive, not the, the olive
grape
leaves.
Grape leaves.
Grape leaves.
Stuffed
so
grape
good.
Leaves. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then today went to get a gyro. And,
and I'm guessing they better have good ones at Greek Fest.
Oh, yeah. They were good.
All right.
So it's delicious. And then my girlfriend and I are walking. We're about to exit Greek Fest, and they've got one of those big Jenga games.
Oh, yes. All right.
Like they have in bars, the giant. Yeah. This was not a giant Jenga. I've seen giant Jengas where the blocks are a foot long.
Uh-huh.
This was a mid-sized Jenga, maybe 8 inches long. So not super high, maybe 4 feet off the ground.
Okay.
Cool. Maybe 3 feet. So two guys are playing, two Greek people, because they are everybody. They're very authentic.
I think everybody's
Greek.
Greek.
Everyone's very Greek around this. So they've got maybe.
I'm surprised they let you in.
Me? I'm so tan.
Codiopolis.
That is what I am, Codiopolis. Actually, yesterday it kept raining, and I kept telling my girlfriend they need to sacrifice something to Poseidon to make this stop.
Wow.
I don't think that's the right god. Because
well,
Poseidon,
he's not the god of the rain,
right? Who is the god of rain?
I have no idea. Greek god of rain.
I played the Caribbean god of rain in a musical in high school.
I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Played Agwe.
Agwe.
The Haitian. I think it was Haiti. I think it. Yeah.
Really?
It was
we'll
Haitian.
Have to look that up.
Anyway,
we're big with Haitians.
Huge in the Haitian market.
Huge.
So we're there. I'm watching them play giant Jenga. There's maybe a 10-year-old kid is playing this against an adult guy. And it's getting near the end, and a crowd is forming.
Gathered, sure.
Oh, there's a big circle of maybe 30, 40 people now watching this game because it's getting to that phase where every time you tap it, it's going
to everything's fall. Starting to move.
And the kid keeps pulling bricks from the third layer from the top.
Okay.
Which is against Jenga regulation.
Oh, is that right?
That is against the official rules. It has to be at least three. I'm pretty sure it has to be more than three rows down.
So you would have to start at the fourth row.
Yeah.
All right.
So this kid's not doing that. Fine. Okay.
The old man hasn't called him on it yet?
Nah. They're both kind of doing it. It's fine. But then the kid does a really risky move. And the tower's, you can tell it's ready to topple. And this kid is really focused. He really wants to win. And he pulls it. And he puts his left hand on the tower.
Oh, you can't do that.
Well, he did. Pulls the thing out. He just tapped it near the end. He had most of the brick out, but he holds the tower with his left hand, puts the brick on top. And then he's all, yeah, you know I did it, all this.
Oh.
So I look at my girlfriend and I say, that is not allowed. That is against the rules.
You're going to stand up. You're going to make a statement.
I said it medium voice. Uh-huh. Didn't want to make a fuss about it. No one really paid attention. Couple minutes later, a few more pulls later, and they're both pulling from the top at this point.
Right.
So it's not even that fun of a game. They're only pulling from the top.
Yeah.
Kid does it again. And I'm just like, dude.
I will not stand for this.
This kid cannot win this way. It's not fine. And what
it's
happens
not fine.
A few moves later, the adult loses. And the kid gets all smug and he's all, yeah.
And how old the kid again is?
He's probably 10,
okay.
Let's say. Then the guy, the winner, goes up to give him a high five. And the kid goes up for the high five and then he pulls it back and goes, psych.
Oh.
Terrible sportsmanship.
Oh. So, after cheating, he is still a terrible sportsman.
Right. So my question to you is.
Oh, my.
Did I have a right to get really upset at this kid for cheating at Jenga?
Did you have a right?
And would you have said anything?
Did you have a right to get upset? Sure, you had the right to get upset. Should you have gotten upset? Sure, lunatic. If you want to get upset, now you're me. Now you're me at the Greek Fest looking at this kid going, is this kid cheating? I probably would have, unlike you who said it low the first time, I probably would have said it a little higher, and then my wife would have punched me in the arm or given me a dirty look and stalked away. But if the guy playing him didn't say anything, you know.
So that's his mistake.
All right, if the guy playing it had said something and then, you know, was looking for backup, then yeah, you jump in. That's right, that kid's a cheater. You know, I agree with you, Kostaki. That's what I would have
what
said.
What does that mean?
That's his name.
Is it?
Kostaki.
Is that a name?
I know a guy who's a comic. Kostaki Economopoulos.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. And I had to introduce him the first time I met him.
and it was very tricky.
Did you succeed?
I did.
Well, just hey, like congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. But and it's also a name. I have met thousands of comics over my years. His name I will never forget.
I bet.
No, it's unbelievable.
Well,
wonderful.
That's great. I just wanted to.
So yes, you were in the right. I think if you had muttered it a little louder, but one, you know, again.
Now at the end, so only the top few rows fell. When
I would have said when the kid psyched, I would have just yelled out weak. Out of something.
So you think it was too much that once it was over, because only the top few rows fell. When it was over, I walked over to the tower and pushed it over on the kid. Do you think that was too much?
I would have picked him up by his feet and hit the tower with him. Like a cheater. Yeah. Psych. You thought you were a winner. Now you're a loser. How do you feel about that? Psych.
Well, that was.
Did you throw a euro at him? Anything?
Why would I
you
throw
just stalked
a good,
off?
Good euro meat.
Just out of disgust. How was the gyro meat? Good?
So good.
I love gyros. I like the meat like on the grill, a little crispier. I bet they're not doing that at Greek Fest, are they?
Crispier?
Yeah. You know, sometimes if you go and they've got the big spit and you're at a busy gyro place, you know, the outside is supposed to get crusty, right? It gets brown and crispy. Well, if they're cutting a lot of gyros, that crispy part is gone, and then they start cutting it where there's no crispy side and it's just the meat. Which is still tasty, but the crust is what the crusty part of the meat is what to me gives it the extra flavor. So we always order our gyros on the grill. So they'll slice it and then they throw the meat on the grill for a couple minutes, and then it's oh man.
I've not tried this.
Trust me.
Have you ever been to Uncle Nick's in Rockford?
No, I've been to Tom and Jerry's in DeKalb.
Is that good?
It's a great gyro.
All right, well, if either Uncle Nick's or Tom and Jerry's wants to sponsor this podcast,
they know where to get a hold of us.
You know where to get a hold of us.
BNoonan at WGNradio.com. Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter. We're also enjoying some adult beverages tonight on the program.
We are. I'm drinking a Goose IPA from Goose Island, a bright citrus aromas, bold hop finish.
And I enjoyed a just straight up Bud Light. Because I'm watching my figure expand exponentially.
So much on this podcast. And if Jenga wants to sponsor us.
All right.
We've given tons of sponsorship opportunities.
Well, and listen, there may be a sponsorship opportunity there. You know what? Just send this to sales.
I'm sending this to sales.
And send the one with the water and said, I don't know who we tried to whore ourselves out to last time. It was somebody. I'm sure. Somebody. So you know me and my wacky schedule. I'm up at 4:30, I'm at the gym, I fall asleep the minute I sit down after work when I'm at home, which is fine. It's a lot of people do that. A lot of people get up early and work hard all day. So, but I also used to be where I was still to the point where I could stay up late and do things. Now I'm asleep early. But last night, I told the story on the regular show about going out with my nieces yesterday afternoon. We went there and then we had pizza. And then we had made plans with a friend to meet up at the Harlem Avenue Lounge, which is a blues club that's been doing blues for like over 23 years. It's on the corner of Ogden and Harlem, right next to the White Castle in Berwyn.
Hmm.
And it's so I was like, let's go. And I look at the website and it's like, ooh, the band doesn't start till 9:30. 9:30. You would think that the band was starting at 3 a.m., the amount I panicked over 9:30. I'm like, 9:30. Then I have to run up by Debbie. Hey, you want to go to Harlem Avenue Lounge with Lodi and we'll listen to some blues? Oh, yeah. I go, well, here's the thing. Band doesn't start till 9:30. She goes, I could take a nap. I'm like, how old are we? We're like 97 years old. I could take a nap. But when you're used to falling asleep by 10, 9:30, that's about bedtime. But I thought to myself, well, I can't be that guy who's afraid to go out after. I'm not afraid to go out, but too old and tired to go out. Because 9:30 is when I used to just like start getting ready to go out.
Right.
That'd be like, oh, I got to take a shower. It's 9:30. I can't be at the bars before 10 because then I look like, well, a guy who's afraid to go out at 9:30.
Right.
So we get home from being with the kids and having pizza. And, you know, I didn't have any beers or anything when I was out for pizza. So I hadn't. It's not like I had been drinking and now was tired and needed to go to bed. It was just, we got home at like 7:30 and I thought, oh, we're not leaving for like an hour and 45 minutes. So I made the mistake of sitting down actually laying down to watch an episode of Daredevil on Netflix. And that ended. And by that time, I was like, oh, man, I got to go to sleep. So now it's like 8:45. And my buddy's picking us up around 9 o'clock. And I get a text from him. Because now I'm bounded. So at 8:45, I'm like, I'll be damned if I'm giving up. I'm doing this. So I walk out, and Debbie had actually slept for a half hour. She was like sound asleep. And now she's sitting out in the backyard, and she's just, And I was like, you know what we got to do? We got a pregame. That's what we got to do. We got to get things going. I said, you ready? I'm trying to get jazzed up. Like, come on, we got a pregame. Oh, really? I go, I'm going downstairs and getting a beer. You want a beer? We're going to pregame.
This is a sitcom episode.
Oh, it's true. That's the bad part about it. I'm like, that's it. I'm pregaming. All right. She goes, I'll take a light. So Miller Lite, you can do it. But I got myself a new Glarus Fat Squirrel, which you can't get here in Illinois. But I smuggled it back because I like Smokey and the Bandit. And so I went across the border and brought back some beers for my own personal use.
Dangerous.
So now it's 8:50. We're in the backyard. And we're going to pregame. So we drink our one beer. And my phone rings, and it's my buddy. And I immediately go, hey, maybe he's calling to cancel. He was not, but he goes, I'm sorry, I'm just leaving the house because I was sleeping.
Wow.
And he's younger than me by 8 years, maybe. So he was asleep, but he had done a 5K that yesterday morning. All right, so now it's like 9:15, 9:20. He's coming to get us, and I'm like, are you ready? She's, all right. Now, we've pregamed, so we should be jacked up.
Sure.
Ready to go. So we get there, and if I say to you, picture a blues bar in your mind, what do you picture?
I picture Kingston Mines. Okay. Or Blues, which is across the street from Kingston Mines. One of those spots, kind of a smoky joint. The owner is probably still really angry that smoking is illegal in bars.
Yeah.
I went to Kingston Mines a few months after the Illinois smoking ban went into effect, and the owner came out and went on a tear for about 15 minutes. He said, yeah, well, you know, you can't smoke because the legislators are making these stupid decisions. And he goes on this profanity-laced tirade about how terrible it is that we can't smoke when we're playing our jazz music. It was great. But I have that connected to my view of blues forever. But I picture probably blues. I've been there more because the cover's usually cheaper.
Yeah.
You know. Narrow bar, dark... Dark,
it's
low.
Dark and kind of run down, and and that's exact. And see, I love that. I love dive bars. I'm not a club guy.
Oh, me too.
I'm not. I like a place where serious people are doing serious drinking.
Yes.
And there's some chit chat, but there's not a lot of chit. You don't need a lot of chit chat.
And it's cheap.
And and it's cheap. So we get there, and the cover was only $6, which I thought was terrific.
Not bad.
So we get a pair of cover to a guy with a tracheotomy tube. It was very cool.
Covered six. We got a $6 cover.
All right, here you go. So you want me to put it in there? He goes, no. That was insensitive. I'm sorry. That was just for a cheap laugh. I apologize. So we go in, and we walk in, and I know my buddy and my wife have the complete opposite reaction of me, because I walk in and I'm like, yes, because it's just a dive. Their stage is all the way at the front, because you enter from the back. You enter from like off the alley, because the street front is where the stage is. So you walk in and it's just a big rectangular bar, like the biggest bar I've ever seen in a club, where if the bar were a little narrower, there'd be more room for people. But the bar is set up so that the bartenders can roam free without any sort of impediment. It is a giant bar. And a very eclectic mix of human beings in this joint.
Oh, really?
Man, from old barflies to a trio of young moms came in at one point. Santa Claus was there at the end of the bar. Santa in a black t-shirt with a lot of really bad tattoos. So Santa was there.
Santa biker?
Santa biker or Santa parolee. Santa somebody. Yeah, one of the Santas was there. But it couldn't have been more fun. So the bartender was a young woman who was very friendly. And it's one of those, they don't, it's a limited menu, you know. They got the beers and stuff. And their food menu consisted of bags of chips. And we weren't going there to eat, but it's right there. Bags of chips. Supposedly they had frozen pizza.
I was going to say frozen pizza.
And then they had popcorn. Well, my buddy hadn't eaten. So what they were doing, it's one of those Pavlovian things. Because we saw somebody order popcorn. And what they did, they just microwave a bag of popcorn and for a buck. And it was hot. But the minute that smell hit the air, all of a sudden they couldn't sell enough popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
They were microwaving popcorn like it was going out of style. And I think we had two bags between the three of us.
When I was an RA, I always wondered why residents wouldn't mask their alcohol or weed smell with popcorn. Why? Because one person makes it on the whole floor, the whole hallway smells like popcorn.
Yeah.
It's one of the most potent smells known to man.
And I imagine, now I couldn't smell it, but I'm told it's a very delicious smell. Unless you burn it.
It's pretty, even burns, it's pretty delicious. But it spreads is the thing, you know? The second you walk into a movie theater, popcorn.
Oh, I love it. So. Love it. But then the band was good. But now, you know, so the band starts at like 9:40. And we make, and their first set goes and goes and goes. And then they go on break. And so we're talking now because we can hear each other. And the band is about to start their second set. And it's 11:35-ish.
Whoa.
And my buddy's like, hey, listen, I don't want to leave, but whenever you guys are ready, you let me know. We'll go. And I was like, okay, you know, we'll stay for a couple more minutes. I said, well, it's already after 11:30. Because now I figure we've been out for a couple hours. So we've accomplished our goal. We didn't chicken out. We went. So we made it through about two more songs from the band. Because blues songs are always long because there's jams in there. So the Chicago Kingsnakes, shout out to them too, who couldn't have plugged the fact that they had a CD for sale anymore.
Really?
Oh, my goodness. From before the first song. They talked about their new CD, and then pretty much between every song, they told us they had a new CD.
They're probably not making that much money.
No, they probably weren't. It was a $6 cover, and you know Santa probably takes a personal appearance fee for coming in. And they did have them priced fair, $10. Because a lot of bands, this I laughed out loud. A lot of bands will charge $20. We charge $10, so you buy two. I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Did you buy two?
I didn't buy any.
Wow.
I don't support live music. No, that's not true.
I went
and I paid a cover. I supported live music.
I think you supported.
So the good news was I manned up and went out after 9:30. The better news was I was home before midnight.
Nice.
It was like 11:57. I walked to the house.
Double win.
Yeah, win-win. Everybody's winning. And my wife seemed to have a good time. She liked to listen to the music. So we'd go back there in a heartbeat.
And this lateness thing is just happening now in your life?
Yeah, but it's funny because getting out is the hard part. Once I'm out, my old mind kicks in. And, for example, when I emceed that gala at the Irish American Heritage Center, that started at 7. Well, it was over at 10, but then I stayed there at the Irish American Heritage Center. Then I went back with the board to somebody's house for an after party, and I didn't get home till 4:30. Almost 5.
What?
You heard it.
In the morning?
In the morning.
In the AM?
A to the M, which is how I used to live, my old life.
Yeah.
So I was out late. Once I'm out, I'm gonna stay out. Like, I saw that they were getting tired, and just sitting, I tend to get tired. But if I'm out at a place, and things are happening, and there's conversation, I'll stay up all night.
You were dancing.
I was not dancing the other night.
You weren't?
No, not at all. A little chair dancing.
I was going to say.
Thing. But it was mostly kind of the kind of mocky dance so that my friend and my wife would laugh. Goofy little chair dance.
See, I wonder about this bedtime thing because every episode, I swear, my co-host on Game Life Balance US.
Can we please plug that anymore?
I'm not even trying. I'm not even trying.
Goodness.
Jonathan, the
co-host. Go to WGN Plus. Is that where it is? WGN Plus?
WGNplus.com.
Download Game Life
Balance. It's lifestyle podcast, Game Life Balance US.
It's posted once every 8 years. No, once a week? Every week?
It's bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly
this summer. Okay. Then we'll see.
Wow, the schedule changing up.
I changed it up because I need more time to dedicate to this show, Brian.
Is that right?
Yep.
All right.
Gotta be.
I'm going to see if it changes. I'll see how the summer goes. Then I'll tell you, go back to weekly, three times a week on the other one, whatever you got to do.
All right, listen. So my co-host on Game Life Balance US, John, tweeted the other day. He said he had a date night with his wife, and the date night was in bed by 10, got to sleep in without an alarm. It was the best date night ever. Hmm. He's my age,
yeah.
But to be fair, he has a 1.5, maybe, no, 2 years, a little over 2 years.
Oh.
So.
Where was the baby?
I think it probably his mother-in-law's.
So the baby, so they got to sleep uninterrupted.
They got a sitter, yeah. So, but he has told me several times. I mean, he's in bed by 10 pretty much every night now. And when we went out, that's where I was last weekend for Memorial Day.
Right.
I was visiting him at his house in Minneapolis, and he was crashing by 11 or 11:30 every night. Is that an instant thing?
If you get into that habit. Then that's the habit. I mean, I was talking to a buddy of mine who has had trouble sleeping for a while. And then he read, I guess Arianna Huffington has some book about sleep. And you follow some ritual, this pre-sleep ritual and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know what my pre-sleep ritual is? I sit down. Because once I sit down, I don't need a whole lot of hoopla to get to sleep. And I think it depends on your schedule. Because back when I was doing stand-up, I would be up till 4 or 5 every morning. Then I'd sleep till, 11, 12, get up. It was a whole different thing. But now it just gets to a point, one, age, and two, the time, how long you're up. You can only stay up so long. And if there's no reason to stay up, I drink coffee in the morning, but then I don't really have caffeine the rest of the day. So, by 9:30, 10 o'clock.
So what about when you had your daughter the first couple of years?
Yeah.
Does that totally shift
everything? Yes. Oh, man, because they don't sleep. They don't care that you're exhausted. There were times I have pictures of Debbie holding Molly and just like falling asleep, holding her. Or you pray for your kid to take a nap so that maybe you can close your eyes for 15 minutes. That's why you look at some moms and dads with newborns. They look like death. They look like zombies because they're not sleeping at all.
Oh, I had one friend that got extreme depression in the first few months after having his kid because she would not stop crying.
Yeah.
And he said he is never having a kid again. He just totally, he's over it.
There was a time, a short period where Molly cried nonstop.
Yeah.
Nonstop. And we tried everything. They say put the car seat on the dryer. They take the kid for a ride. Do this, do that, do that. And it was like, oh, man. And you're just like, please, for the love of God, stop crying so we can all get some rest. So you can get some rest and mom and I can get some rest and everybody. And they're infants. They don't know. They're just screaming.
That's got to be the next Shark Tank innovation. Something that will muffle the sound without damaging or harming, obviously, this child.
Yeah, it can't be a pillow. That's not what you want.
Earplugs?
Well, earplugs will do it, but no. Baby screams will pierce anything. It doesn't matter if it's noise-canceling headphones. It doesn't matter if it's your big Beats. Nothing. Baby screams. We went to breakfast this morning after we dropped the dogs off to get their bath.
The showers, yeah.
Yeah. And there was a kid, maybe 3. He did not want to be having breakfast.
Really?
His cries and screams were just mind-altering. You could have used him as torture, and I would have confessed anything. And I felt the cranky old man part of me was like, shut that kid up. And the other part of me was looking at his mom and dad just go, and he was with it was the extended family was having breakfast. There was grandpa and stuff there because I heard somebody called grandpa. And I'm looking at his parents going, oh, these poor folks. Because then the dad takes the kid into the bathroom and they come out and the kid's fine for about a minute and a half. And then it all starts up again. So then the dad gathers him up and has to leave the restaurant. And I'm like, thankfully, they were considerate enough of everybody, because it's a little tiny breakfast place, considerate enough about everybody else in there to know that you can't have a screaming, crazed 3-year-old inside. You got to take them outside.
Yeah.
And it's a horrible thing. So, they're not sleeping. They're not eating. When you have a baby, sometimes It's rewarding, but life is rough. And so, yeah, the bedtime sleep becomes very important.
Sleep is always very important.
And now I'm, you know, I get like 6 hours, and I'm, I could use eight.
Yeah, I'm already there.
Yeah.
I mean, if I don't get a ton of sleep, I'm at work and I'm done.
Yeah.
I can't even.
Well, it's there have been times where, you know, I come home from school, so I get home from school a little after 3. And I'll let the dogs out and do that stuff. And then I sit down at the computer to check emails or something. And I fall asleep with my hand on the mouse.
Wow.
Where I'm just out. You know, there's no... And I could kind of feel it coming. And like sweet, sweet death, I let it engulf me.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing I can do. And I'm like, oh, I'm just reading my email. And honestly, I'll wake up and my hand is still on the mouse. My head is just slumped down. I'm like, oh, okay. That's great.
That's how it was Friday. Friday after work, I get home. My girlfriend says, yeah, hey, it's Friday. We get to... Mama. No, nap time. I went straight to the bedroom. She's like,
really?
Where are you going? And I was like, I am done. I am going to fall asleep, sitting, doing anything.
Did you get up later and do something? Or were you in for the night?
Yeah, no, she wanted to watch some international football. Because the U.S.
Snore.
The U.S. was playing Colombia in...
In football?
Internacional...
Can't you sleep during that?
I like football. International football.
Really?
Yeah.
We call it soccer where I come from.
Do they?
Yep.
Well.
Because you know where I'm from?
America. I'm
I call
cultured.
It soccer.
I'm very cultured.
As long as you're watching it, I don't care. I mean, it just, you know, that would be so, like, I can watch American baseball and fall asleep. Sports puts me to sleep.
Well, baseball put Everything anybody puts me to sleep. Baseball's worse than soccer.
You know what hasn't put I was able to stay up and watch like 3 complete episodes of Game of Thrones without falling asleep.
What are you current?
Yes. Well, I'm this season, okay, so I'm like 4 episodes into this season.
Okay. I'm not there.
So I haven't gotten I'm not all the way current. But I know, you know, the first 3 episodes I stayed wide awake. Made the mistake the 4th episode, we started it at 10:30 on a Friday.
Way past your bedtime.
Way past my bedtime. Especially since my track record of staying awake during Game of Thrones is woefully inadequate.
Wow, I still have the podcast where I start talking like George R.R. Martin writes from the overnight show.
Oh my God.
And you start ribbing me about how I'm reading Game of Thrones. This was before, I mean, had the show even been announced? It was maybe it had just been announced.
Oh, man.
So, because it would have been about 6 years ago.
Okay.
Man,
we've
go
been
way
doing
back.
This a long time.
It's a
Lord.
But now I can no
Look
longer.
Look how far we've come.
I can no longer. I can no longer pull the smug card of, well, I read the book, so I know what's going to happen. Because you're ahead.
Right.
Season 6, man.
Season 6.
Unknown territory.
And
now
I can only imagine if I can't stay awake during the TV show where there's pictures. I'd get about a paragraph in, and it would take me probably the rest of my natural days to read one of those books.
I gotta ask you.
Yes.
My girlfriend does not like violence.
Okay.
She doesn't, so...
Then why is she watching Game of Thrones?
So,
I would say halfway through episode 1 of season 1, she would have been, this is enough for me. Head in a basket, what?
So she can appreciate really good stories and really well-told things. She enjoys Tarantino. Quentin Tarantino movies. They are violent.
Yes.
But the, like, Hateful Eight she thought was really, really good storytelling.
Okay.
And things like that.
I didn't see that one.
I didn't care for it. She really liked it.
I heard it was very long and ponderous.
It's not his best, you know.
Right.
But for example,
she doesn't like gratuitous violence.
Correct. Yeah.
All right.
So the thing is, we're entering season 3.
Right.
Season 3 contains the Red Wedding.
Oh.
Right.
That was the most shocking. Oh. I will tell you, and you won't be there for a while. The shock of the Red Wedding, there was a scene in episode 3 of season 6 that made me almost vomit.
Are you serious?
It was the most horrifying. Thankfully, a lot of it was not shown, but just the scene itself. Horrifying.
No way.
Horrifying. Horrifying.
Well, if I can get... Because I don't know what to do about the Red Wedding.
It fits in with the story, but it is crazy violent.
Like,
It's not gratuitous, I don't think. Yeah, a little.
There's some...
Now, wait, did you see the... You've seen that
I
scene?
Have seen that scene.
Okay.
But I'm wondering, do I just tell her what happens and literally fast forward through part of that scene? Because, I mean...
She's a grown-up.
That's true.
Well, her mom's listening. Have her mom call her.
But I want her to keep watching it with me. This is where the dilemma is. I mean, I just want to deal with her emotions.
How did she deal with Ned Stark's head?
She dealt okay with it, but they don't show that. They cut away.
Right.
You know, there's stuff they don't cut away from in the Red Wedding.
Correct.
There's a lot
they don't cut away from.
I will have to update on this podcast as we approach the Red Wedding.
Yes, I can't wait to hear, because her sensibilities will definitely be skewed.
Yeah.
Do you think she'd quit watching?
I hope not. Huh. You get pretty invested in the characters.
Yeah, well, if you can stay awake to remember them.
Which we can, and I told you this before the podcast, but I got the funniest thing was that she couldn't remember Daenerys and Khal Drogo's name, so she just called them Dana and Carl, which is the funniest
thing.
She
Americanized them, Dana and Carl. Because Daenerys Targaryen is the mother of all dragons, correct?
Yes, Daenerys Stormborn, first of her name and rightful heir Unchained, to the Iron Throne. Unchained?
I think she says something about that this season. Somehow she's unchained. I don't know. She's listening to Van Halen with Carl. It is Camaro. His Camaro with the dragon on the hood. That's what she's the unburnt. She's also the unburnt.
I wish I were an artist so I can draw a Dana and Carl fan art with them in like button downs and polo shirts and pink shorts.
Going to Westeros.
Oh, man. In a Camaro.
Yeah, in a Camaro.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyrion is just there, just hanging out.
He's just there in the back with sunglasses on.
Yeah, with a bong. Bong and a dragon.
What's up? So if anyone's listening and you are an artist and you'd like to draw this fan art, that'd be great art for this episode.
That would be great. Carl.
I'll keep you posted on the Game of Thrones progress.
Please do. All right. Well, listen, we thank everybody for listening. I've been getting some nice feedback about this little endeavor of ours. So
yeah, I appreciate that, hearing that vicariously.
Yeah. Through. So it's very good. We hope you're enjoying it. We are enjoying doing it. It adds a different layer to the program, and we'll be adding some more layers. There's a tease for you. More layers of show things coming up. You can always get a hold of us at Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter, and at Producer Cody.
At Producer Cody on Facebook and Twitter.
So go there. Keep in touch with us. Enjoy the shows.
Tweet at us what you think of stuff. We'll read them on the show.
Yeah.
During the week, just tweet at us what you think of the Jenga game, what you think of...
Yeah.
Dana and Carl.
What happened with the dog poop or Dana and Carl?
What do you think of dog poop?
What time do you go to bed so you don't have to go out? Do you pray that your friends will cancel so you don't look like the one who's too old to stay out after 10?
You know? What you do to get babies screaming out of your ears?
How do you pregame?
I was going to say, I kind of want to get you a bottle of Fireball now.
I think I've tried Fireball. I don't like cinnamony stuff.
That's what everybody pregames with.
With Fireball?
Everyone in their 20s in Chicago pregames with Fireball.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. See, I usually pregame with a couple beers or whatever's around.
No, other brands are even getting into it. Jack Daniels has a cinnamon fire.
Really?
Next time you're in the whiskey section, Jack Daniels has a brand. I think Jim Beam has a cinnamony fire
brand.
And
we welcome all of you to this podcast. If you would like to join us, if you're a... we'll do make the sales pitch. If you're a company that thinks that we are the perfect spokespeople for your brand, God forbid, then come along.
We do drink a lot. I had half of this Goose IPA. I'm trashed.
Oh, mine was my Bud Light was gone hours ago.
Was it really?
Yeah, I think before Roger sat down.
I didn't even see you drinking it. I just figured
I absorb it like air. It was like a shoomp. Yeah, I'm not messing around. So, all right. Well, listen, next week we could pregame with some Fireball.
I'll see what we can do. If Fireball Whiskey wants to provide us with some, we'll gladly do that.
All right. So that's what. Why is that the choice? Now I know that Fireball came up with my daughter and my brother in Mardi Gras, because I guess all college kids must love Fireball, but they mixed theirs with something, and it angered my brother. They were all along the parade route, and somebody had a flask. So one of Molly or her friends had a flask. And so my brother shows up, and they're like, hey, you want some Fireball? And he's like, yeah. And he took a big swig of it, and he got angry. He's like, ugh, because they had mixed it with Coke or something.
Why would you mix it?
That's what he said. He's just like that. He was like, why? Doesn't anybody have any straight Fireball? What is this?
The reason Fireball is popular is because it's really sweet and smooth.
Okay.
And anyone can drink it straight. Anyone can drink it straight.
Well, maybe not sorority girls in New Orleans.
Well, sorority girls in New Orleans, I'll fly down there and teach them a thing or two.
Wow.
Oh, my girlfriend didn't hear that. Yeah,
who benefits from that lesson? You or the sorority girls in New Orleans?
That could be good.
And I'm going to tell you what house to stay away from. You can go to the other houses. You stay away from one certain house.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, I don't want you lurking around my daughter's
house. None of that.
She could direct you to the house of loose morals.
I figured she'd just introduce me to people.
Well, she would. She'd
be my wingman.
Yeah, she'll be your wingman.
If my girlfriend ever gets sick of me, I'll just...
Well, right now her mom is calling.
Well,
did you hear what he said? I don't know if that's how her mom talks.
Not so much.
I picture her mom talking like one of the Pepperidge Farm guys, because they're from the East.
You picture most east. People talking like some kind of cartoon character.
Yeah, it's because I try not to picture reality too much. That's why I was... I was so upset about the 20th Century Fox thing.
It's a terrible place.
It is horrible.
A terrible place.
The world
place.
Is awful, so I try to make it as comfortable as possible by being, embracing the cartoony part of life.
Well, I'm going to make it more comfortable by going to bed.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, oh my God, it's way past my bedtime.
Oh no, you better get home.
I got to go home.
Fall asleep at the wheel.
I'll turn into a pumpkin. Bye.